men have a sex drive usually on a regular basis, sometimes on a daily basis, more often than not. Our culture has taught that toxic or they're pig, they're disgusting, they're perverted.
Yes.
And that's not really true. It's really what happens is, now, the reason why that does come up because there are things that happen where guys do bad things, okay? But if your husband has a desire for you every day because he has good testosterone levels, that's a good, healthy man.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Danielle Hage Podcast. I am Danielle, and my podcast is all about relationships. And my daughter-in-law actually started following this doctor, Dr. Patrick Flynn, who we have on the set today. And she started telling me all the different things he was saying, which went right into some of the stuff that I teach. But he's the doctor, and he knows way more about this stuff than I do. And I said, we have got to have him come on. And he has written a book. Well, first of all, let me give the proper introduction. Okay, so Dr. Patrick Flynn is an international speaker noted for his relatable, humorous, no-nonsense way of delivering complicated health concepts. Dr. Patrick shares a different perspective that resonates and encourages action, whether his audience is doctors and practitioners, chiropractic students, or new or established patients. So he's written one book called I Disagree. Love that title. And can you tell us, and now his second book, which hasn't been released quite yet, is mm-hmm. I Still Disagree. And so Can you tell us, first of all, what inspired you to write I Disagree? And this is a loaded question. And what is it you disagree with?
It's actually a wonderful question, because here's why. Everybody has a story. You know, I think one of the greatest things when I get to talk to people, and it doesn't matter if a woman comes in with endometriosis or she comes in with cancer or she's infertile, everybody has a very unique story. You could have two women going through infertility and it still have a dramatically different story. Well, what led me to say I disagree, or even have the opportunity to speak on their podcasts where your daughter-in-law saw me speak and then saw and then read the book this way, is because I have a story. I have my own personal health story. Being a sick kid diagnosed as a juvenile delinquent, they would have probably listed me Asperger's today with the diagnosis I have. And then I went on a health journey because I went more, obviously by nature, we're all kind of grow up in the kind of the medical model. But back then they didn't drug kids like they do today. So I dealt with some things, and then I figured out my own path, and I went to college for those things and went to undergraduate and graduate school and postgraduate educational things. And then the one thing is this, but that was for my personal story. But what really attracted you guys to where the book really has something really important to talk about was the fact that I met my beautiful wife, 25 years ago, and she was told that she couldn't have children. And I was actually just getting ready to graduate chiropractic school. And, we learned some really, great things in school from the biochemistry of physiology and things like this. And she suffered from four major conditions, endometriosis, ulcerative colitis, cystic acne, and cluster headaches. And she was trying to see wonderful docs take care of her, but she continued to get worse. And that's why I think a lot of people relate to me, because we've had stories where we've gone different routes. And I looked and said, well, I kind of disagree with that kind of path. But disagreeing with it, you had to now create a different path so people do get the results or do get the outcome that they want. Well, if I fast forward today, I have four beautiful daughters. They're 20, 17, 14, and 11. Wow. And we did a wonderful job of getting her back healthy. And obviously she's a vibrant, 48-year-old woman and stuff like that. And I'm 49. And so I met her when she was, 23 years old. And it was great because we all have that story. So I just think that people are stuck. I think that if we look at in relationships and the understanding of it and health and the understanding of it, just saying I disagree just says, hey, now let's talk and maybe get a different perspective on things.
Yeah. No, it's great. I think that is such a wonderful blessing for you guys to have four kids thinking that she would not ever have children. That's what doctors were telling her. And oh my gosh, she's got to be so grateful. Okay. So in your second book, I'm going to quote you. It says, you say hormones are what makes a man and a woman a woman. Our culture is trying to force men to be women and women to be men. And as a result, we're seeing unhealthy consequences. This goes beyond health and impacts our relationships. I love that, because that's what my podcast is about, helping men and women to understand the differences in us so that we can accept one another and appreciate the differences and be able to live in peace and harmony. So in what way do hormones impact relationships?
Well, we know this. If we take, let's say, two young kids, like 2 7-year-olds, if you were to look at their lab values, from a lab standpoint, their estrogens and testosterone and DHEA, they're very close and very similar, okay? And that's why I tell people, 2 7-year-olds can get along pretty well if they're a boy and a girl, okay? But then what happens is, as a young child transitions into, you know, puberty, there is now an increase of specific hormones that help develop the female and male characteristics, sexual characteristics, and, you know, and put women into a state of, you know, fertility and things like that. But there's also, once again, there's also psychological things that change. Estrogens, which is the major dominant hormones that affect women, you know, women still have progesterones, everything like that. Men have the same exact hormones, they just don't have the same amounts. Just like men have a testosterone, and there's psychological effects to that. For example, we all know this. You know, if you think about why, you know, men create the most heinous crimes, testosterone is a very aggressive kind of hormone. And that's why you've even noticed they've actually done things when, let's say, in really bad situations where they have to give a man like Lupron a hormone blocker because they cause such harm, sexual crimes, violent crimes that way. And because why? Because there is a psychological change that happens when levels get to a certain level, okay? The hormones get to a certain level. For example, if a woman is hormone deficient, it can affect her sex characteristics, it can affect her fertility, it can affect your uterus, but also affects her brain. There's a lot of receptors on the brain for estrogens. And I hope you see what I'm saying, is you don't hear me saying estrogen, okay? Because there's a significant amount of estrogens, and that's where women sometimes are confused, because if they're cyclic, they look at estradiol, and if they're menopausal, they look at estrone, but don't realize there's more than that that affect them, even from their little, obviously, through the cyclic years and the menopausal years. So therefore, when you look at hormones, there is a physical change that we all see, but there's a psychological change in those characteristics. And that's why we know this. If we were to take the dominant hormone testosterone and inject it into women, they will take on physical and mental characteristics of a man, because the term hormone is actually known for it to be messenger. So it's just a relaying message, and it tells the tissue, including the brain, including the testes, including the ovaries, including the uterus, what to do. So hormones have a physical and a mental consequence if they get too elevated or too low. That's why they need to be right in the middle.
Okay, so what about the women that are getting up there in age, like maybe in their 50s and 60s, that I'm hearing different people that I know are getting those testosterone pellets put into them, women are? So is that because they're so low on testosterone? But I mean, and then how do they manage the levels? Like, is that a good thing or is it necessary? Yeah.
I can only tell you from my personal experience clinically. So let's say there's a lot of women that have come into my office because they actually got a pellet. And remember, in a pellet, there are great benefits to it, but once again, but there also are consequences to it too. But here's the thing, is all of a sudden, what I really care about, regardless of your therapy that you choose, are you within a normal range? Now, what ends up happening a lot, if you do look at their labs, I did a video about a couple weeks ago on this. One of my docs had another, you know, patient come in, and they're on a pellet, and their testosterone was at 145. Well, you want to be more in the 40 range, you know, so she was twice, if not three times, her testosterone levels. Now, Durong, if you ask that woman, from a sex drive standpoint, she was at a very high sex drive. But here's what happened. What she didn't like about it was she was going through other characteristics. She started to see a little thinning of her hair, especially towards her forehead. She started to notice her being a little more aggressive. She started to notice that she started to get a little bit of facial hair. So she was taking on some of the physical and mental characteristics of having a testosterone at 145. So now, if you're deficient in testosterone and all of a sudden you bring it up, even if you go elevated, you're going to see some benefit, because she did see some benefit from some energy and some sex drive, but then she had the consequence of it going too high for too long a time.
Wow. So they have to adjust it? Certain pellets have a certain amount, or?
What happens with the pellet is it has to dissolve. So the consequence is you're going to stay at those levels until it's completely done.
Oh, wow.
So then you talk to your doctor about trying to change it and stuff like that. And I know they're kind of difficult to change, but that's where you have to get the advice from the doctors that inject those in.
Yeah. Okay. So, you say something else in your book, that if a man is not chasing a woman around for sex, that he's unhealthy.
Yeah. And that's a general broad statement, but let me go over this. And obviously, because think about this. If you've been in a relationship with a man, okay, by nature, we have very good testosterone levels. If we have testosterone levels around 500 or above, you know, what ends up happening is we have that desire on a very high regular basis. Now, are there things that can make a man have less of a desire? Sure they can. Men, if they're really focused on their career or have a high level of focus or stress on a job, they can come home late and they can even be home but not be home. You know what I'm saying? Because men are so, you know, they're so laser focused. They're not like a woman where estrogens make them more, you know, multitask and they can do 10 things at once. That's why a guy is really good at focusing on one thing. So if he comes home and still focused on work or laser focused, he won't be focusing on, you know, sex. But you ever notice the minute that gets off his brain, what happens? You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, a person that has a very decent and a very good testosterone level, and that's one thing that sometimes women don't realize, is the fact that it's like, you know, in culture today, you know, we because men have a sex drive usually on a regular basis, sometimes on a daily basis, more often than not, our culture is taught that toxic or they're pig, they're disgusting, they're perverted.
Yes.
And that's not really true. It's really what happens is, now the reason why that does come up, because there are things that happen where guys do bad things. Okay. Right. But if your husband has a desire for you every day because he has good testosterone levels, that's a good, healthy man.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so I just, and I want women to understand that there's nothing broken about him or wrong with him, that he has that sexual desire. It's just that you're the wife. You're the one he's supposed to have sex with. And I teach also too is this. Now, in a female body, you know, they're not going to have the kind of drive that a guy does. And on top of it, I tell people, you know, and a woman can't have sex every day. Well, they can. It's just that there's consequences that way because, you know, with different estrogen levels, the vaginal canal changes and lubrication changes and things like that. So there's, once again, there's always benefits and consequences, everything we choose.
Yeah. But it's good to know. I think that women need to know it's not that men are just so horny and they're perverted, they're dirty. It's natural. It's how God designed men. And testosterone is the culprit, not the man.
Yeah. Well, that's what I tell women. I say, women, think this way. I mean, just by nature, and let's talk about just some simple, funny examples. You know, my wife the other day was walking up the stairs in front of me. We were out somewhere. And so she's two stairs above me. Well, you know, her rear end is by my face. You know, what do most guys do? You see, you laugh because, you know, you're going to pinch it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, she bends over.
Of course you have to.
Of course, that's my point. With her Lululemon, you know, pants on and stuff like that. And you're just like, you know, just want to give it a slap. And see, it's not a perversion. It's an attraction.
Right.
Because testosterone does that to us that way.
Yeah.
And I want guys to understand, now once again, as a man, you know, we need to be very stoic and very controlled. And so that's why, and of course, then what people do, that's the good general rules about a man. Now there's exceptions. There's people that have bad behavior and do disgusting things. Okay, but that's the exception, not the rule. And there's even people that go really extreme where there's pedophilia and stuff like that, where they have done hormone blockers on those people. Mm-hmm. Now, once again, extremes, but if you look at the general aspect of testosterone, it gives us a good drive and attraction and focus on that beautiful wife. And so I just want them to understand that if he's, you know, and that's where good, and I think you do a good job of this. That's where just good conversations between husbands and wives have to have talk about this stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
And women really like this stuff that I talk about because in our culture today, they're trying to make women to have a sex drive like a man. And I'm going, if you look at the biology and hormones and how they shift, I can't see that happening.
Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you about. Yeah, that if you say if a woman has a sex drive like a man, something is not right. She's unhealthy, right?
Well, just talking about that pellet we were talking about before about the woman that took one. By nature, ladies, if you want to look this up, it's called androgen dominance. Mm-hmm. Is where, for example, androgen dominance can lead to a lot of health conditions, including PCOS, other psychological things that go about with that way, and other physical things. And so therefore, over time, if that but that woman that had that elevated testosterone, she had a wonderful daily sex drive, but it was given with a bioidentical hormone, which is a much obviously safer venue, because obviously, like I said, HRT has its consequences, bioidentical has consequences, herbals have their consequences, and no hormone has their consequences. Remember, there's always consequences.
Right.
You just got to be willing to look at. But the idea is this. But just like she was noticing, that she did have a sex drive every day. Husband was very happy. But then when she started to notice the consequences of hair thinning, noticing some facial stuff that way, she didn't like those consequences anymore. Yeah. And so therefore, and the one thing that I have noticed already is that women, let's say, let that pellet dissipate that way, their sex drive, you know, calms down. And so therefore, it was kind of, even though at least it was a bioidentical, which once can have some good benefits, there was still artificial, because that wasn't the normal levels that her body was trying to keep and regulate at.
Right, right. Okay, you say something else, and I think this is so funny, that no woman is emotionally stable.
Yeah.
Well, so explain that.
Let's talk about that. So what happened is as I love reading a lot of research, okay, because I just think having good data is a good thing. Now, we can't research every little thing. We don't have technology to research every little thing. But what happened is I was just reading an article about the consequences of women today that they're on a high rate of antidepressants. Now, I don't want my daughter's teacher, my wife, which she's never had an antidepressant, or any woman on some kind of medication like that. I believe that, and I understand there's reasons for it. So I'm not giving any medical advice or trying to tell people not to do it. But just I'm going, okay, I want to know what is the criteria for giving it to women, okay? And a lot, and if you look at that world of giving psychiatric drugs, and you're wrong, there are people that you can see have very huge psychiatric disorders, no doubt, and there can be some benefit from having those drugs, okay? But what happened is the majority of women and data that they're talking about that they're putting them on is a conversation about how they feel. And they talk about, women talk about stability. Well, if we just look at a woman's cycle, okay, if we look at just a woman, say, is 29 years old, 30 years old, you know, 42 years old, she's going through hormonal changes that have psychological and physical changes that happen through the month. And it happens about four times a month. I actually legitimately wrote down and looked at the course of a cycle based on estradiol and other hormones and noticed that they change about four times a month. So therefore, ladies, you know this. You know that your body morphs four times in a month. There's difference in breast size. There's difference in your genes. There's difference in your hair. There's consequences that happen by those estrogen and progesterone going up. But then there's also the psychological things. So women say, I just feel like I'm unstable. I feel like there's this. I'm like, yeah, that's a consequence of being a woman. Because as estrogens are really low, there's going to be certain psychiatric things that happen. And when estrogens get very high, there's going to be things that happen. And they do this all the way through the month. Right. So women say, I just feel so unstable. I said, well, where are you at in your cycle? Well, I just got my period. Well, you understand that your estrogens are extremely low right now. That means that connectivity, that even loveliness, that even want to talk to somebody is less than it is a week from now when your estrogens didn't get much higher and you seem like you're more outgoing. You seem like you can take on more stress. You seem like less things bother you. Now, the only difference between that week one and week two was the measurable, the easily measurable levels of hormone.
So men, you need to know women are not crazy, okay? Blame it on their hormones.
Well, if you think about something just like when a man has decent levels of testosterone, they may call him perverted, pig, or disgusting. When they say that women, once again, you know, are hormonal, I'm like going, and it's almost like a derogatory thing. I'm like going, No, actually, that's a compliment. Because if you understand a woman, because here's what happens. I do want my women hormonal. I do want to see those beautiful fluctuations of their hormones through the month. So, and yes, in the consequence, and so no joke. And what happens is this. So obviously, I when I was going through undergraduate and chiropractic school and my postgraduate, you know, obviously we get taught hormonal things and stuff like that. But then what I started to really do is that when I started to sit across from women and say, and let's say it was day two of their period. So they menstruated day one and we're day two. And I'm like, oh, doc, I just managing and it just psychologically, I'm like, okay. But then I saw the person a week later for an adjustment and all of a sudden they're like, oh man, I'm just pumped up. I'm excited. I'm like going, okay, you know, let's measure your hormones and see where they're at. And then on the flip side, ladies, we know this. A lot of women that have hormone deficiencies, it could be in cortisol, it could be progesterone, it could be estrogen. And let's say that happens significantly for them. It feels like they're running on an empty fuel tank. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to get through the day.
Wow.
You understand? And so that's when I really started to go, okay, listen, why don't we just have a conversation, talk about the physical and psychological things that everybody can look up. Like I said, everything I shared with you so far is very easily be attainable. Just look up what happens. But here's what happens. Is I noticed that when there was hormonal changes and even some problems, I just disagreed with the current medical system of how they want to approach these things. And I tell people, listen, I'm not trying to give you any medical advice or any advice that way. I'm trying to say, listen, here's something that you can do to support the best outcomes of hormone production. And, you know, it's like this. We all know this. There's certain nutrients we need to produce certain hormones. There's certain cholesterol levels we need to produce certain hormones. There's certain B vitamins and things like that. So we want to support a woman's body so that when there's that demand for production, that we have the support behind it, that there's good pituitary function, there's good ovarian function, there's good testicular function, because we all know this, that if we're deficient in vitamin D, there's a condition called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. If a woman's low in that hormone, there's going to be seasonal affective disorder. Wow. I live in the Midwest, you understand? So therefore, if you don't, you know, get sun on a regular basis, you may have to supplement and support your body with a good vitamin D3 to K2.
Right.
Now, once again, that's not controversial at all. But vitamin D, once again, converts into a very good hormone within our body. And therefore, guess what happens? So then hormones do regulate us both physically and mentally, because we also know vitamin D is a very good regulator of our immune response. So we're more affected physically by infections if we have low vitamin D, but you're also more affected by psychological things that happen if you're low on vitamin D. So that's what we're just trying to teach women, saying, just know where your levels are at. Guys, know where your levels at. Understand that, guys, you will look like you're a little bit more stable because you have a little bit of fluctuation in testosterone in the morning. That's where the old funny, you know, a morning erection came from. But the idea is this, but women have major fluctuations. And so therefore, mentally, it's going to say men are going to be able to have a little bit more stability on their just daily emotions. And that's why I say they have to be a little bit more stoic. I don't mind women being emotional. I employ a lot of women. I'm sitting there going, I expect them to be emotional. I expect them to be hormonal. I think that's a good thing. I think that's characteristics that really, if it's really looked at, those characteristics can make them find problems and things like this and stuff like that. And it really makes them special.
Wow. Okay. So you give a great analogy in your book about the timing in talking to men. And I talk about this a lot, like how to talk to a man, how to tell him what you need. But what you brought up was something new for me. You said, don't try to talk to him in the morning when his testosterone levels are at an all-time high. Talk to us about that.
Well, so therefore, if you look at the characteristics that happen with men, you know, they're laser focused, they're aggressive. And what I started to do, I started to talk to women. And see, this thing, I can honestly tell you, the book is an observation and experience and stories of just stuff I learned, not only from at least, you know, going to school, but also just experience talking back and forth to women and talking back and forth to men. And I was dumbfounded how that a woman came in frustrated. And she was frustrated at her husband about something. And I'm a kind of practitioner. I'm a kind of doc that says, hey, listen, stressors are really bad for a person's body. You know what I'm saying? It's like here, people realize, if you get adjusted by your chiropractor, it relieves the stress. You know what I'm saying? And that's where there's good things happen to the body. I don't like toxic things for the body because they're stressors. I don't like mental stress because it stresses. And for example, if you guys right now were to think about one of the most stressful things in your body, in your mind right now, your body does change. You can feel the change. You could almost live it just by thinking about it. So I'm the kind of doc that says, okay, listen, it's my job to help remove those stressors. Now, Daron, I can't remove a bad experience you had at work or in a relationship or this, but what I can do is bring to the attention that, ladies, if you continually stress out about this, there is a physical consequence. That's why every woman knows this, that they've been through something very bad emotionally that either skipped or delayed their cycle. Mm. Or if you stress your body so physically, young ladies can not have a cycle because they run or they swim all the time and stuff like that because the physical stress. So what I realized when and it just came from frustration, a woman's like, Doc, I'm stressed today. Help calm me down and stuff like that. I said, okay. I said, well, what's going on? I told my husband to take out the garbage and he just left. And I got to talk to the husband and she goes, she never told me to take out the garbage. I'm like, it's him? And it was like, and she's like, no, I'm looking right at him. And then I realized this. And then being married myself, I'm like, you know, when I get up in the morning, we're laser focused. We want to make money. We want to dominate. We're aggressive. We have competitiveness that way, all the characteristics of a man. And so that's why sometimes men miss things because they're so laser focused that someone could be talking to him. I said, and I realized that even with myself, that if a man's laser focus is not properly, you know, diverted to something else, they basically hear Charlie Brown's teacher. You understand?
Yeah.
And I start teaching women that, and I start teaching guys that, and I, you know, I'm not joking. I was just trying to help my wife get her estrogens back to normal. And the consequence of it was, as I started to, you know, create some things and do some things clinically to help that happen and seeing her conditions resolve. And then actually, you know, we tried to get pregnant. We ended up having obviously four beautiful daughters. The doctors were so surprised and stuff like that and stuff like that. But I wasn't surprised because I saw her labs go back to normal because her labs were pretty bad. Okay. But here's the point. And so it wasn't nothing like I set out to go, something I want to learn about men and female and their mindset. No, I was like going, oh my goodness. It was a consequence of really just digging into, okay, how do the estrogens affect your body, breast tissue, uterus, but also the brain? How does testosterone affect the heart, the cardiovascular system? Yeah, you're hearing everything. And we know that. And that's why the book was interesting. My head journalist is here right now and stuff that she goes through all my podcasts and stuff of that and stuff. And we put the book together. I can honestly tell you, I never went through the book. I didn't, because they've just listened to my stuff for 17 years, put the book together, and it became an international bestseller within a couple weeks.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, wow. I'm just sharing some stories and some experiences and just trying to show, you know, what hormones kind of do. And for 5 years, it's been a huge seller. Yeah. And then what we did was we just have some, obviously more experience and some more stories. And with some other things, the I Still Disagree book. So I still kept the hormonal component in there because it does relate to a lot of things, but then we added some other things. And then we have a person that's a nurse practitioner, has been with me for a long time. She actually disagrees with some of the things, and she can do that because it's cancer and stuff like that. And she disagrees with kind of the medical approach to cancer and certain things and stuff. It doesn't mean she's against chemotherapy radiation, but she just thinks like, miss, I have no problem with medication, but I think everybody on the planet, especially in the United States, can agree. I think we take a little too much. Do you understand? I think we could do some things and change some things, some behaviors that could actually negate some of the major pharmaceutical things they're taking. Do I have any problem people taking stuff? No, remember, everybody has to deal with their choices. Everybody has to deal with their consequences of it that way. And then people search out people like your podcast, because the book resonated with you, because you probably talked about a lot of these things. And they go, hey, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And when things make sense and practical, they can put it into their life.
Absolutely. So just real quick to the timing in talking to your man, if you have a need or a want, you're saying wait until later in the day, you know, early in the evening when his testosterone level has dropped a little bit, because now he can be more focused on you and actually hear what you're saying. Correct?
Yeah. And one thing that I've learned, and this is myself too. So my wife and I have a safe word. Okay. Now let me explain. Not a sexual safe word, a safe word. Okay. I have said that everybody thinks that. Okay.
Pineapple.
So because remember, I've had my testosterone levels measured. I've got very good testosterone levels. You know, I have a gym here, my big clinic here. I work out. I don't eat bad. I eat organically. I make sure I have enough proteins, you know, and here's my point of explaining that is, so therefore I have very good testosterone levels. So obviously even at 49 years old, I have a very good desire that way and everything. And here's what happens this, but I actually have a lot of employees and a lot of offices and a company and things like that. And sometimes when I get home, I'm still charged up and aggressive, and she can tell I'm not there. Okay. And ladies, I know you've experienced this with your man, because you know why? Because when we're laser focused on our money and our career, and so she'll look at me and she'll say, pineapples? I like pineapples. which means because most men don't know that about themselves. So they come home and they women think they're disconnected. They're not disconnected. They're still connected to that number one stress, money and work. And so then the women think there's something wrong with them, or he doesn't care, or there's something going on.
Right. They take it personal. Yeah.
Exactly. And so therefore I tell ladies, if look at your man and say, hey, get a safe word. I mean, because it's safe for your relationship to go, he's still at work. He's still stressed out about something. Do you, Sam?
Yeah, he's not transitioned to home.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's why when a man wakes up, he thinks, I got to provide, I got to protect, I got all these characteristics I have internally that I believe God made inside him. And so therefore, that's why he gets up in the morning and all of a sudden, hey, honey, take out the garbage. Hey, can you do these things? And he's like, you know, Sam?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until then myself, as I got busier, you know, as I started seeing more patients and things like that, I was like, well, man, I'm that way too. And so then guys are like, hey, this makes sense. And then girls are like, hey, this makes sense. And then people started saying, doc, our relationship got better. I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. I'm just trying to help you
That's
get your hormones back to normal and help you remove the stressors and be healthy and live a good, healthy, vibrant life. And so we put it into a book form. I didn't think it was going to be that impactful, to tell you the truth. I thought it was just simple.
And you simplify it. You make it make sense the way that you write the book. So it's easy for your layperson to understand. You know, that's what I loved about it. It's so easy to read and it's so resonating, you know, in our relationships. That's what I loved about it. Okay. One last question. You talked about or tell us, what do you think about the gender confusion and what do hormones, what is their place in all of that? Like, you know, I'm hearing adults say, oh, my son wants to be a girl or my girl wants to be a boy, and they're five. And parents are actually starting to give them like hormone blockers to make, that's crazy to me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can only talk about experiences I have. Like a lot of people, no judgment, I've got experience with this, but I just want to say this so people know. Because, you know, I tell people is this, if I haven't experienced something clinically where I've had some labs or some data or stuff like that, I don't want to ever make a comment. And that's what I believe people respect me for. They'll say, doc, what about this? I'm like, well, I've never experienced that clinically, or my doctors haven't. So I don't know how to support the body or do things. So, and be like, okay, doc. See, I wish doctors would just sometimes say, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I just think it's very good. So because of the stuff I started teaching and working with that way, before the whole transgender movement got really big, that I already saw a bunch of people like that. Okay. And what I mean is this, they came to me and because they, and it was a concerned family member or a concerned person in their life where they wanted to do surgeries or hormones and stuff like that. And here's what someone thing, and every person, so remember, I can tell you this because I didn't have one yet, and that might be in the future, I may have one, but in every person, my first question, so let's say a woman says to me, hey, doc, you know, I'm really suffering from endometriosis. My first question is, hey, can I see all of your estrogens and your progesterone and your DHEA and all your labs? Because that can be a contributing factor and you might be missing something nutritionally. You might need to eat more cruciferous. You might need some herbals, things like that to maybe support your hormones. But I can't even give you that kind of guidance or some opinion without a lab. Okay. So then all of a sudden a person comes to me and this has happened. And all of a sudden I had a young lady come to me and because her parents were concerned. And I said to her, you know, hey, listen, you know, they want to do, you know, one skin hormone therapy on her and do some surgery on her. I said, hey, can I see your labs and stuff like that? And what do you think the answer is on every person that I've had clinical experience with was?
Their hormones were confused.
Nothing. No labs, no anything. Okay.
Oh, no labs. So then,
they had no labs. And the reason, and I'll show you why I asked this, because and here's one thing. On every person that came in, and once again, we're not talking thousands of people and stuff. We're talking more like, you know, a couple hundred and stuff like that. So it's a very small population size. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been interviewed about this. Their hormones were abnormal. You know what I'm saying? I had one woman that had extremely high testosterone and she wasn't taking anything. Now we know that there's going to be some physical and mental consequences of that. Now they're drunk. And I sat across from them. And this is just me. I consider myself a Christian person. I believe that we can have differences of opinions or different views, but we can still respect each other. And the girls, and it's mainly girls I've dealt with. I've only dealt with two boys ever. But the idea is this, is that they want to be called by a boy name. I still call them by a boy name. You know what I'm saying? Because they truly believed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just like this, just like that woman that started to have that was taking the pellet. She felt aggressive. She felt more testosterone, or more sex drive. She saw her hair change, the physical and psychological consequences that come through it. So my opinion is, once again, on them, I do believe on a lot of the females and males that I've actually seen have some endocrine disruption going on, have some hormonal problems there and stuff.
Okay.
And I do have, you know, several of them that started some care and then actually psychologically went back and believed that they're their original sex again.
Wow.
Okay. And that's just my experience I've had. It doesn't mean, you know, I believe there's a lot of data on it? No. Do I believe that every person that goes there? No. And here's one thing that's tough for me when it comes to non-pubescent individuals. So let's say before they hit puberty. Remember, a little girl and a little boy, if you do labs on them, they do have very similar hormones. They really do. And it's when puberty happens is when there's the big shift in the dominant ones to develop their sex characteristics. But remember, sex characteristics are physical, but they're also mental. So that's why when it's young people that have never hit puberty yet, I'm concerned about, you know, I'm concerned about them, what they think, because, you know, there's, they haven't even hit puberty yet. It's like this.
Yeah, they're not developed yet. Yeah.
You know, we all see these girls that say, man, when I was little, I was a tomboy. Well, yeah, because you're running around kind of doing a little bit more male things, running in the woods, hunting, doing things that way. But then all of a sudden they have puberty and they become very feminine.
Right.
You're saying? So it's like, so I think what happens is this. I think that there just has to be, you know, an understanding of both sides. Because I'm not joking. Every person that sat across from me or sat across one of my docs, guess what? They truly do believe that they're the opposite sex. And I never once tried to argue with them on that. I never once tried to say no. I said, hey, listen, I'm just concerned because here's what happens. If that woman who took that bioidentical pellet, if she kept those testosterone levels really high for a long period, there could be consequences.
Yeah.
Okay, there could be. There could be health consequences that come from that, all right? Now, so therefore, if you start to disrupt a woman's hormones or male hormones for a long period of time, you know, it's like this. You know, sugar is not bad for you, but if you have high levels of sugar for a long period of time, it could affect your kidneys very negatively.
Right.
It could affect your cardiovascular system very negatively. And so I'm just concerned that when they want to do hormone therapy or something that can be long-term on people where it's out of their ranges for what they should have biologically, because then there's some really bad health consequences that I think when they get into, they would regret later in life.
Right.
It's just, it's just an opinion, an idea, you know?
Yeah. So good. So when is your second book, I Still Disagree, when is that going to be out? Where can we get it?
April 6th.
April 6th. Oh, okay. Right around the corner.
Yes, awesome. April 6th. Actually, I think today or tomorrow, Monday, I get a physical copy of it, Aaron. Yeah, it should be delivered today. I actually get a true hard copy of it today.
Okay.
Obviously, we went through it today. And I will tell you this. Me, Aaron, and our journalists and our graphics people went through this book. And I mean, I went through it with a fine tooth comb with our journalists this way, because we do have four wonderful journalists that work here. That's why everything's referenced. And we have, you know, footnotes with references and research and stuff that in there. And once again, I tell people, I said, it's not an advice book. It's not a medical book. It's just some stories.
Right.
I try to make it very simple. Mm-hmm. But people seem to get a health and a relationship and a personal benefit from it by reading it. And so I tell even if you're talking about a book right now, wait till the other one comes out April 6th, because the I Still Disagree book, pretty much everything is in the new one. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, so that's why when we have the I Still Disagree book, we probably won't even print the I Disagree book anymore, because there's so much more in depth there. And maybe five years from now, I may write another book on there, and it might be, hey, I'm still disagreeing.
Yeah, still disagreeing. You know? Yeah. Okay. So can we find you? You're on Instagram. What other platforms do you have?
Instagram's probably my most common platform because I know it's really funny because I've been removed from platforms before because supposedly this is, and that's why I try to tell people, I'm just trying to share ideas that way. Yeah. But the easiest way to always look at our information, just go to thewellnessway.com, thewellnessway.com, because that's our website. So we do put everything up there.
Okay.
Obviously, people follow me a lot on Instagram, just Dr. Patrick Flynn and stuff like that. And it's like, and I want to be clear, I tell people, you know, I don't give medical advice. My background, undergraduate in chiropractic school, and my postgraduate is just always, my job is to just share information when we do stuff like this.
Right.
Publicly, no medical advice, no things. Just if you want medical advice, go ask your doctor. And people say, doc, should I take HRT? I'm like, that's not my field. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that. I just want to help support the body and do the things. And we give some, you know, ideas in the book and things like that. And people just seem to have a, you know, healthier and a better life.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing a great job. So thank you. And thank you again for taking the time to come on. And if this has been a benefit to you, or you know someone that you think maybe it could benefit, please share, please like and share, and please push that subscribe button, because that really helps me and my podcast. And so Dr. Patrick Flynn, thank you again. Go get the book, April 6th. Can they find it on Amazon? Will it be on Amazon too?
Yes, Amazon's the best place to buy it and stuff like that. So it's like, we'll have it on our website, but it's much easier, faster, and Amazon's great at that way. So.
Yeah, and that's thewellnessway.com. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.